Hello, this is Beth Ludwig from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from the June 2010 issue of Good Housekeeping magazine. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Our first article is called, What Really Causes Clutter? A one-time purge or a binge on organizing supplies won't cure an overflow of objects, says Lori Marrero of clutterdiet.com. People need to break habits that lead to clutter. Any of these sound familiar? The habit? Being afraid to let go of items. I might need it later. My kids might want it someday. Or similar fears. How to deal? Ask yourself, what is the worst case scenario if I get rid of this? And play that scenario out till its end, says Maria. The answer is usually not that scary. In many cases, you can repurchase the item if it's truly needed. Habit, not stepping up to tasks. Family members walk right by something left out on the counter, but unless someone takes the initiative to make sure it gets cleared, it's highly unlikely to happen. How to deal? Assign clear responsibilities, communicate them, and give consequences when they're not accomplished. Habit, procrastination. This is the worst of the bunch, says Marrero. I dare say that delaying decisions about where to put things or waiting to put them there is the cause of all clutter. How to deal? Be aware it's the first step. Then, if you hear yourself say, I'll just put it here for now, resist the urge. The last habit, buying too much stuff. How to deal? Check out Clutter Diet's printable wallet-size reminder with 5 questions you should ask yourself before making the purchase, and wrap the paper around your favorite credit card or debit card. These tips were from clutterdiet.com. That's clutterdiet.com. clutterdiet.com. For your good health, ease the squeeze. Road trips, cruises, plane rides, amusement parks. If you're prone to motion sickness, you might wish you had skipped the family vacation. But now, European researchers have come up with a simple trick to beat nausea. Breathe out of sync with the motion of the vehicle. When 26 volunteers at Imperial College of London were placed in a rocking flight simulator, those who consciously tried to breathe slightly slower or faster than the tilting motion lasted 50% or longer before feeling nauseated than those who followed the natural tendency to breathe in sync with the movement. Turns out your abdomen has its own motion sensors that can add to feelings of sickness when a vehicle rocks and rolls. By altering the movement of your diaphragm with your breath, you can control these sensors. If your car jerks, focus on breathing steadily and don't let braking or lurching change your pace. On a boat, find a breathing pace that doesn't match the wave motion, advises the author of this study. In a car, lean against the headrest, keeping perfectly still. Focus on the horizon or close your eyes. On a plane, strap in tightly. Contract your belly muscles during descent or turbulence and brace yourself against the seat. The best color for your cover-up. A shade that matches your swimsuit may be a fashionable choice, but it's not necessarily the one that will best protect you from the sun, says Spanish researchers. When they compared fabrics in primary colors against undyed cotton, they found that deep blue, second choice, dark red, was the best at blocking damaging UV rays. Least protective color? Yellow. In other research, the scientists found that white, created using optical brighteners, which have some UV blocking abilities, provide about as much as or as little protection as pale blue, pink, or yellow. But no matter what the shade of the cover-up, gauzy materials let in more rays than tighter weaves. And you still need to use a sunscreen with SPF 30 or above. The heart test that can't wait. If you're nearing menopause, your estrogen is plummeting. But guess what's going up? Both total cholesterol and harmful LDLs typically accelerate in the year before your last period and continue to surge for a year after. A study of 1,000 midlife women has found this information. Once you've missed three periods in a row, have a cholesterol check, advises lead researcher Karen Matthews of the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. Menopause may be a time of increasing heart risk, but it is also a time to make lifestyle changes that can head off future problems. More health information. The lowdown. When it comes to weight loss, water works. In a Virginia Tech study of 48 overweight adults on a diet, those who drank 16 ounces of water half an hour before every meal for 12 weeks lost about 4.5 pounds more, 15.5 pounds versus 11, than those who didn't have the water. Water makes you feel fuller, so you eat less, says researchers. If you want to test it for yourself, make sure you drink enough, 2 cups, and give your pre-dinner water cocktail adequate time to work, at least 10 minutes, but not too much time, 30 minutes max. Quit fix. Giving up cigarettes doesn't have to mean gaining a spare tie. Researchers from Northwestern University analyzed 10 studies involving 2,000 smokers and found that those who watched the scale while quitting put on less weight after 3 months than those who just quit smoking. Success in one area encourages more success in the other, explains the researchers. So attempting both at once not only could prevent dreaded weight gain, it could also up your chances of stopping smoking for once and all. No belly, no telly. When University of Vermont researchers asked 20 adults who watched about 5 hours of TV a day to cut their TV time in half for 3 weeks, the participants burned roughly 120 more calories per day just by doing other things like cleaning, gardening, and even organizing photos. So get the signal. Why you still get headaches. Could it be your pain pills, that cheese sandwich? 8 common mistakes that cause suffering and how to find relief by Sarah Harrer. A tiny twinge tells Kelly Smith, age 40, that the headache is coming. I feel pressure behind my left eye. Then my pulse starts pounding in my left temple. It feels like a bruise if I touch it, she says. I get nauseous. The pain becomes so sharp that I have to lie down in a dark room. Raw onion, red wine, cigarette smoke, motion sickness, an off-kilter sleep schedule, hormone swings, and even weather changes can set off the skull-busting pain that has tormented Smith since she was 17. Surprisingly, so can her migraine drugs. Last year, my pain medicines, the ones that are supposed to stop a migraine, seemed to cause rebound headaches, she said. They were coming almost every day. Smith found a licensed acupuncturist near her home in Omaha. Weekly sessions, along with avoidance of migraine triggers, have reduced her headaches significantly. I vacationed in Hawaii recently and didn't have to worry. I even went snorkeling, she says. Head pain, like Smith's, is not unusual. More than 30 million Americans live with migraines, some of whom suffer chronically, defined as a headache 15 or more times a month. 45 million people cope with chronic headaches of some kind. Tension headaches are also considered chronic if you have one 15 days a month. But the relief Smith found is unusual. One reason, many headache sufferers try to cope on their own. In one survey of 20,000 Americans, researchers from the Albert Einstein College of Medicine found that half of those who got migraines had never received a diagnosis, a key step toward reducing and preventing the pain. The American Academy of Neurology is now updating its migraine treatment advice, while the International Headache Society has called for new research on fixes for all headaches. But you don't have to wait for the results to ease your pain. We've spoken with leading specialists and reviewed the latest studies to find treatments that work. And that starts with identifying your particular mistakes. Number one, you think it's tension. Believe migraines are always a big deal and everything else is a tension headache? That's old school and could stand in the way of relief. By definition, you have migraines if your headache fits two or more of these descriptions: moderate to severe painful throbbing on one side of your head, or worse when you move or bend over. 2, if you also feel nauseous and or vomit, or are sensitive to light, sound, or odors. Or if you've had at least 5 attacks that last from 4 hours to 3 days if untreated. It's a tension headache if the pain's on both sides of your head. There's no nausea or sensitivity to light or sound or odor. And it doesn't get worse with regular activities like walking. Real pain relief? Despite these seemingly neat divisions, experts now believe that the two headache types may have their roots in the same mechanism in your brain. That shifting brain chemicals plays a role in tension headaches, just as they do in migraines. If you write off your pain as just a tension headache, not worth seeing a doctor for, you could be suffering more than you need to. Address it, and you might even become headache-free. Strategies to control the mechanisms behind migraine can effectively prevent whatever type of headache you tend to experience. 2, you blame your sinuses. Head pain plus congestion, a runny nose, and facial pressure feels like sinus trouble. But don't swallow that decongestant just yet. And in one multi-study center of 2,900 adults who thought they had sinus headaches, researchers discovered a whopping 88% actually had migraines. The confusion is understandable. When the trigeminal nerve, the brain's superhighway for a migraine pain signals, is activated during a migraine, it can cause sinus symptoms just like congestion. And weather changes that bring on sinus pain, shifts in temperature, humidity, barometric pressure, also triggers migraines. But sinus remedies containing decongestants just makes things worse. When the decongestant wears off, blood vessels in your head expand again, and your headache will get worse. If you have head pain and facial pressure, but no fever or greenish or yellow discharge, you may be having a migraine, not a sinus attack. Talk to your doctor. Lifestyle changes could prevent future headaches, or if that's not enough, you may need medication. you pop pain pills. Taken too often, pain meds, even the over-the-counter varieties, can be setting you up for non-stop headaches. In one new German study, 7,400 women and men, half of those with chronic migraines, had medication overuse headaches. Other experts estimate that 2 out of 3 people who get frequent headaches, tension, or migraine are stuck in this pain pill pain cycle. What happens in your body depends on the type of drug you're taking. Opiates, such as codeine, mute pain-sensing receptors on brain cells. But as the dose wears off, the receptors become sensitive to the tiniest pain signals. Migraine-alleviating tryptophans, such as sumatriptan, Imitrex, and Zomig, work by helping the brain use more serotonin, a feel-good brain chemical that blocks pain signals in the trigeminal nerve. But experts theorize as each tryptan dose wanes, serotonin levels plummet, leaving you extra vulnerable to another headache. You may be getting overuse headaches if you take over-the-counter remedies, especially those that contain a mix of aspirin, acetaminophen, and caffeine, or sinus headache formulas with a decongestant 15 days a month or more. Some experts think that plain aspirin or acetaminophen taken this often can spur headaches, possibly by sensitizing brain cells to pain signals. Popping prescription pain relievers at least 10 days per month may also set you up for medication overuse pain. Over time, these drugs lower the threshold. You wake up with headaches more often, have more headaches throughout the day, and your medication just stops working. So what should you do? Stop taking your pain drugs with your doctor's help? Easy? No. But consider this. Studies show quitting pain pills significantly reduce migraine intensity and frequency. None of the other strategies that prevent migraines will work until you do this. Once you're free of rebound headaches, you can work out the best preventative and treatment strategies for you. Are you a caffeine fiend? There's a reason washing your pain reliever down with a cup of Joe or a cola seems to vanquish pain. Caffeine shrinks swollen blood vessels that make migraines and even tension headaches throb. That's why it's featured in ingredients in migraine remedies. But as the caffeine wears off, your headache rebounds. Maybe because blood vessels re-swell, irritating the already sensitive nerve endings. If you are drinking coffee, limit the amount. Stick it to a cup or two and have it at the same time each day. You don't need a caffeine withdrawal headache on top of a migraine. Do you ignore triggers? When researchers at the Headache Center of Atlanta surveyed 1,200 men and women, 76 reported they had triggers. What set off their migraines? 80% said stress. 65% of the women blamed hormones, 50% named sleep disturbances, 44% had trouble with perfumes and other odors, 38% were bothered by bright lights, 32% by sleeping late, 30% mentioned heat, 27% were troubled by certain foods, and for an unlucky 5%, sex leads to headaches. If your brain is extremely sensitive, your triggers can be obvious. You may get a migraine every time you eat a pomegranate. But if you're less sensitive, something may bother you only when you're already vulnerable. So what do you need to do? Keep a headache diary. Chart when you got a headache, as well as weather changes, what you ate the previous day, whether you had alcohol and what type, your stress level, if you exercised, and for women, where you are in your menstrual cycle. Include medications you're taking for other health issues, some antidepressants, bronchodilators, drugs for asthma, contraceptives, and diet pills can trigger migraines too. Your next step? Eliminate avoidable triggers and be vigilant when you're exposed to those you can't control, such as hormonal changes, sudden weather shifts, or high tension days. If you've got a big deadline at work and you know stress triggers your headache, this is time to be sure you're getting enough sleep, not overdoing caffeine, and eating well. Your diary may point to certain foods and additives that are triggers for you. But since they're such a frequent causes of migraines, some headache specialists recommend that all patients cut out common offenders, including caffeine, MSG, chocolate, nitrate-produced meat and fish, like cold cuts or lox, cheese, especially aged cheddar and blue cheese, nuts, alcohol, particularly red wine and champagne, and dark-colored drinks like rum. Being alert to triggers can help you avoid milder headaches, too. Ones to watch include dehydration, skipping meals, skipping on sleep, and downing too much caffeine or too much chocolate. You're too stressed to exercise? Anxiety plus a lack of activity is a double whammy for your poor aching head. Exercise reduces stress, helps you sleep, and boosts endorphins, brain chemicals that are natural painkillers. Pain relief. Aim for 30 to 45 minutes of brisk physical activity 3 to 4 times a week. In Swedish research, 26 migrainers who rode exercise bikes 3 times a week for 12 weeks reported that their headaches became less frequent and less intense. If exercise tends to bring on pain, try taking ibuprofen or naproxen 30 to 60 minutes beforehand. Also, skip activities that make your head bob up and down, such as running on a treadmill. Switch to an elliptical trainer or an exercise bike. Drink water before, during, and after your workout. Warm up gradually and exercise in a cool environment. Your sleep schedule wacky? In a 2006 survey conducted by the National Headache Foundation, 79% of headache sufferers admitted that they got hit when they overslept. But 66% said too little sleep is also a trigger. And naps can be counterproductive. Although they may dull the pain of a tension headache, they lead to insomnia, which can set off a new headache the next day. So what to do? Go to bed and wake up at the same time every day, even on vacation. And get enough sleep, 7 to 8 hours each night. In one University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill study, of 43 men with daily or near-daily migraines, those who improved their sleep habits, including adopting a strict 8 hours a night sleep schedule, got migraines 29% less often and found the pain intensity dropped 40%. You skip pain prevention drugs? These pharmaceuticals, which include anti-seizure meds, antidepressants, and certain high blood pressure drugs, could cut your risk for future migraines up to 50%, and may also benefit some other headache sufferers. But chances are your doctor hasn't recommended them. In one 2007 study of 162,000 Americans, researchers found 39% of migraine patients were candidates for pain preventers, but only 12% were using them. So if lifestyle changes haven't helped, ask your doctor about preventative meds. It takes patience to find the right one. But if you tried several and still haven't gotten relief, see a headache specialist or a neurologist. There are some natural remedies that work. Biofeedback and cognitive behavioral therapy are both highly effective pain preventers, studies show. Certain complementary approaches also stand up to research. Butterbur, A study of 245 migraine sufferers, led by a researcher from the Albert Einstein School of Medicine, found 68% of those who took 75 milligrams of butterbur, that is B-U-T-T-E-R-B-U-R, product twice a day, cut their migraines by at least half. The plant has an anti-inflammatory compounds, which may be why it quells headache pain. But it also contains toxic chemicals called PASs, so be sure to use only a PA-free product. In the study, they took the brand Petadolix. Yoga. In one Indian study of 72 migrainers, researchers found that sufferers who perform routines that include yoga and who did breathing exercise had significantly fewer and less painful migraines. Acupuncture. Patients who received up to 12 acupuncture treatments in 3 months needed less pain medication and had 22 fewer head pain days per year and went to the doctor 25% less often. Acupressure. In recent Taiwanese research comparing a month of acupressure treatments with muscle-relaxing drugs, the hands-on therapy significantly beat the pills at relieving chronic headaches. To try it yourself, place your thumbs on the two points on either side of your vertebrae at the nape of your neck, just below the skin. Gently knead for 1 or 2 minutes. In the Good Family section, we have 4 new Facebook rules. A teen's Facebook is like a diary of her life, and oftentimes is open to hackers or just plain creeps, says Neil Farrow, cybercrime and identity theft expert. Help your child with these tips. 1. Forget full name. Instead of using his real name, your child can use a nickname or first-middle combo to maintain privacy. A good idea in case he slips up and doesn't want college admissions officers or future employers to see those online blunders. 2. Choose tricky passwords. Suggest using a long password, 10 or plus characters, and change it every 3 to 6 months. O'Farrell suggests this trick. Combine the first letters of the word in the sentence. I was born in Iowa in 1995. That becomes IWBIII1995. Number 4, restrict access. The privacy setting, Friends of Friends, invites possibly hundreds of thousands of people to see your kids' information and photos. Choosing Only Friends will limit viewing to people they've confirmed as friends. And finally, stick to the past. Discourage kids from broadcasting plans which give potential stalkers information about their whereabouts. Why else milk matters? Researchers discovered that kids who consumed lots of calcium tend to live longer than those who had less calcium-rich diets. Children who consumed 700 milligrams of calcium per day were up to 60% less likely to die from stroke later in life. So be sure every member of your family, age 9 and up, gets the equivalent of 2 cups for kids age 2 to 8, of fat-free or low-fat milk or other low-fat dairy product every day. Money builds skills. If your kid is a video game expert, make his playtime pay off by pointing him to the Great Piggy Bank Adventures at thegreatpiggybankadventure.com. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of From Soups to Nuts. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Beth Ludwig, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long, until next time.